Let's welcome our virtual church, big family. Welcome, beloved, welcome. Today, beloved, we will talk about one more syndrome where many people abide. I will say this like church syndrome. I am very confident that some of you will receive healing if you are freed from what you, from what I will be talking about. Thank God for it. But I am a spiritual sniper, and I aim for things very precisely. When I say certain sermons, you know, you don't know if it pertains to you or not. You know, I ask God to for me to shoot straight. If it doesn't pertain to you specifically, it might hit someone who's sitting next to you. But just be attentive. And let's just think with me today about what I will say. So the topic is called violating the rules of the game. You know, very frequently I hear this phrase, and I'm confident you hear it as well. Phrase can change, but the context is this. I did all that's possible that I was told to do, and I got nothing out of it. I heard this phrase before, and I lived in this phrase before for many years. Another phrase that was similar, I did all that I could do, and nothing happened. Beloved, some people, do you feel this obstacle? You have any idea how many letters come in this topic? Questions can be different regardless, but the context of it is the same. We did all that was told to us by people, by pastors, for what we thought was right, and nothing came out of it. We had no fruit. You want to know the answer to this clever question? Why nothing is happening? Listen to me. Today we're going to go somewhere. Have you ever thought of you did everything possible by the rules that you were placed in, and specifically that is why you're not getting any results? Listen to me very carefully. You know, what God told you, it cannot happen in the game that you live in, and the rules that you use in that game, quote-unquote, we say, what the spirit, the rules caused by religion that creates limits and obstacles and barriers, the spirit of this world created these barriers, where when you abide in them, you cannot fulfill what God tells you. Here is where the wisdom of God, and a little bit we will speak of that, why these barriers, these guards, these walls, God allows. Why? I will explain it today.
Do you know
that there is
other obstacles
used by those or encountered by those who also had this? It doesn't matter what decade you're born in or what fence is around you, but it is there. You know, for you to come to this church, you had to break the games of the game that you were born in, that you were raised in, the people around you constructed for you. They no longer want to be with you and have anything to do with you because you exited out of that game. Listen to me. And so, another obstacle that people encounter, they all reached very high standards because they broke the rules of the game. All the people that we enjoy, those who we love, they all broke the rules of the game where they previously lived. So what is it that makes you different from them? And that is what? It's the decision that they were go into that, and they cut themselves out of that game and out of the opinion of those from them. When we think that God is is inside of our walls and our fences, he will work. No. If God gives you a promise, that promise is beyond the fence, beyond the limits and the walls. And those who make the decision to exit out of those limits and barriers will come into those promises. The promises of God do not wait for you in your limitations. You have to do something extraordinary. And so, to break the rules of the game is not going to be easy, and some of you know what I mean. Oh, the rules of the game. You say, I don't play the game. And I will tell you, okay, let's check. Start saying everything you think. Do as you wish. Live as you think is right. And you will see those who control, those who tame, who will tell you, oh, you're not allowed to do this, you can't do this here. Beloved, we know and understand these limits are good. We need to have speed limits on the freeway, where, you know, or other rules that apply to your health or whichever it is. We're talking right now specifically about a spiritual element, rules of religion. These walls. Listen. To break the rules of the game is not going to be easy because those who are around you will continually play by those rules, and their reaction is going to be negative towards you. You're not allowed. And you will say, what if? And Holy Spirit will say, of course, we do everything the Holy Spirit says. What if I will leave everything and I will start praying to God a couple hours a day? What if from 1 hour a week prayer, I will construct my prayer life? What if I enter a 40-day fast? What if I do things that nobody else does? What if I exit out? And again, those who tame will ask you, "What are you more holy and righteous than everyone else? Are you wiser than everyone else?" And in order to be different or to differ from those who tame and construct rules and control, every single one of you, and I'm not even kidding, you will not only have to encounter the fence and the limits, but those who build that. Do you understand? Not only the walls and the limits. Yeah, you can break the wall and the fence and you can hop over that, but right now you deal with those who build that wall, and you will have a serious conversation with the builders of those walls. You know, we all know this. This is called religion. What do you think you're letting yourself to do, praying for 5 hours? We do not allow this. Oh, and I thought that when God told me something, I'm supposed to ask everybody for validation. Oh, I thought that God's decision is more important than everybody else's. Okay, that's good. You guys will understand what I mean later. And so, today is going to be fun. And so, this obstacle that everyone says, I have nothing left. No, that's not always true. You can always exit out of that. Exit out of your boat, basically. You still have another obstacle, another decision to make. But this obstacle is the wall between life and death, and within these limits, it's easy, it's comfortable. You know, these individuals, we will call them, quote-unquote, them. We already talked about this. They build these walls on the very edge. On the very edge, here is the edge, and here is the wall that they build, or the fence, only for one reason. Because this fence is built for a dumb sheep. Do you understand? Follow me by my words, spiritually. The fence is for the sheep. Logically, we understand. A sheep do not pass that because you will fall, but not for the eagle. Do you understand? Okay. Digested. An eagle will never will prove to the sheep that I am born to be there beyond the fence to fly. But they will tell you, no, it's death. Death is behind the fence. And the sheep is correct. No, you don't understand. Here is where the problem is. And instead you telling, you know, you flying away, you say... Do you understand? Stay with me. I know revelations are coming and depth is coming. And so, if we push out of the mentality of the sheep and those who control them, everything logically is correct. And the wall that is built exactly in the spot where beyond that you can no longer go. Do not touch, do not go, do not look. Why? Because as soon as you start doing that, someone will come against you. But I'm born to do this. The Bible says no strength, nothing will touch you. You are born to fight darkness, to walk on hell, to tear apart demons, to live in the glory of God. Here, are you here? Listen. Majority of those who live on earth are afraid of breaking these rules of this game because we are born in this game. Remember this, you're not born somewhere else beyond the edges where it's fully safe for eagles. Eagles. You are born inside this fence, in the limit, everything for you is already decided by those sheep, and to tell you what is safe and what is not. And we understand that the sheep, they do not have a brain. It is the dumbest animal on earth, and it is proven. She's not even able to walk back on the path that she started walking on. This is fact. This is why there's always needs to be a pastor or somebody who guides these sheep to tell them where to go to navigate them, because they're not able to, or even dogs do this as well. They herd sheep so they don't go somewhere beyond the edge and fall. Beloved, but there's another breed. This limit is only a method of discernment of your DNA. No, you don't understand. The barrier we need to see who is who, church, and that's all. That is why when you are told, oh, they don't like us, they don't love us, they don't want to come to us, relax. Those who are born with the DNA of eagles, lions, they will be where they belong. Listen. Majority of those who live on earth is afraid to break these rules because we are taught by the spirit of this world how to play the game correctly. You're taught this by your parents or your church or someone else. Step to the left, step to the right. Here you will fall. Here you will fall into temptation. Give me an ability to fly and see. No, you're not able to. No, you're not allowed to fly. And wings are not even from God. Logically, yeah? I mean, think about it. If you have a sheep with wings, something is wrong.
No.
We do not have this. And all brothers and sisters said, yes. We're going to keep pressing forward. And in these limits, they have their own teachings, sheep teachings. And within these limits, everything's so logical. Do not go there, it's dangerous. Of course, it is dangerous because there's where the eagles live, where they have their nests on cliffs. We will not go there. It's a different revelation. They live Eagles make their nests where for sheep will not have enough oxygen to breathe. Do you understand what I'm saying? Internalize this spiritual concepts, church. We're not just being entertained here. I'm trying to simply explain to you. Guys, be careful. Don't play with the controllers or else I'll come. You do not have... Be very careful with my message, guys. You look on a tree, and these mountains and this tree, very tall tree, and the very top of this tree, there is a nest of an eagle. And tell me, sheep are not able to lift their head high enough to see that. See, they don't have the anatomy to look that high. This is DNA. All the sheep sees is their own waste and their own grass and whatever is around them. And of course, you live around those who are just like you, so you see their own waste and your own waste, and that's your life, and that's what you breathe, and that's... But you smell. I know, it's a bit crass. This is why we come, and when we ask, why do we have only gossip around us and this foul smell? Try to guess where you are. Guess it the first time. The eagle flies, and you think, oh, what is this falling on my car? He flies freely. And everything falls freely, and everybody below. This is a joke. In other words, he poos wherever he wants. I mean, does he care about his reputation or where something smells maybe? Where? He's not aware. But the sheep is caught up in this and lives in this constantly. This is very simple to discern. I'm not calling anybody names. Oh, he called me a foul sheep. No, you yourself just determined who you are. I'm not calling anybody names. I don't know your DNA. This is why I'm telling the sermon to help you discern. Determine who you are. Do not take blame and be victimized by this. I'm just simply saying, thinking out loud. Look, most of those born from above expect God will start moving in their game, in their element. But God waits for you on the other side. He says, son, come over here. And you come, and you say, daddy, what? There is a fence. He says, son, you don't understand. If there is no fence there, many people will fall and die, but the fence prevents that, to not lose some and to allow others to fly past that. By no means are we trying to offend anyone. Those who are born with the DNA of the sheep run around, but with love. But the eagles and lions, we say, guys, that's not your life. I beg of you, it's not your life. Our problem is not in that we are afraid to break these rules. You know, the majority of us are not afraid to break these rules. You know what we're afraid of? We are afraid of the person who holds us under control with these rules. We don't stop ourselves from listening to the wrong sermons online. But what we are afraid of is telling everyone who we listen to. We change, put glasses on or something, disguise of some sort to come to some conference so nobody recognizes us. Our problem is in that, not that you come to God, but that nobody out of your people will know that you come to Him. Everybody thinks you're sleeping. Not at night, you paste and ask questions to God. Are you here? So here's your problem. You're not afraid to break the rules. And I will tell you again, you're not afraid. You're afraid of the consequences. And that is what determines. Have you seen
a
pack of eagles? No. Here's a question. No, they're only by themselves. By themselves. They have families for the rest of life and they fall in love. And when one dies, and the other one, this is history, will die as well. We're talking about the cleanliness of DNA. We talk about this purity is not what we think. It's not chickens who constantly throw waste on everyone, or those who feed on low-quality food. Do not confuse those who are low feeders, bottom eaters, do not feed on clean, pure food. Crows can't even fly high enough and drink from the pure mountains that the eagles do. And so, again, I'm telling you, your problem is, I'm going to put it as a syndrome. You're not afraid of the rules. You are afraid to be caught in the moment where you are breaking. And this specifically, this element speaks of who you are, determines of who your DNA. Eagle, lion, will not be able to do this very long. He's going to come and say, how long am I going to keep doing this, running around in circles? And everybody kind of freaks out at his reaction. And everybody, you know, gets, no longer has digestive problems around. The lion, you know, just makes one noise and everybody reacts. He just simply clears his throat and mountains are moved. All the sheep and cattle reject him. They say, we exile you from our chicken coop here. Sorry, I'm just too honest. A life makes me. Somebody has to. I'm just tired of this constant, pathetic, watered-down Christianity. I don't want to offend someone right now. I want everybody, brothers and sisters, to accept me and my message. Do not smell up the atmosphere. The lion will never apologize. I'm sorry, sheep, that I did not know that you are about to have a problem with your digestive system. And so we're not afraid to break the rules. Our hearts helps us determine, are we afraid to break the rules and show everyone? You know, the dream, you can have a dream, even a sheep can have a dream to fly beyond the fountains, but to actually, but to actually jump and try that out, that's a different story. Take David. I don't want to talk about too much about him because we speak a lot of him. But you know that this person, you know, he would have lived out of an exception to every rule, starting from anointing of eagle, of oil, ending to his life. You know, he never lived in limits and boundaries. He always did things that were a bit strange. You know, David, carefully, carefully listen. David had more problems with his brothers and their game rules. Why did you come? They were suspicious of him versus with Goliath. You know, with Saul and his brothers, he had more problems than with Goliath. With Goliath, the conversation was cut short, very short. Do you understand? So eagles and lions, they're going to have more problems with those around them than with that they will have to do. Half a day, he will try to convince that he's able to. But the brothers don't understand him. You just came to spy on us. Maybe it's something else. Let's not go there. The Russian language can get kind of complicated. But only when he was able to put on the uniform and all of that before he started the war. You know, there's all these set of rules that David had to break before he started acting to show them that only when you walk with God you're able to go beyond the rules and only live in exceptions. And of course, when David came and roared like the lion, and what did everybody do? Everybody reacted. You remember the story. So our problem is not with our calling, with our Goliath. Our problem is with our brothers, with Sauls, with those who are around us. Brothers are those who are sitting next to you. Sauls are your leaders. Sauls are your leaders. You know that David, paradox. Look at this unique thing. In the team of Saul, there was no one, not one, who went to conquer Goliath. 40 days they were sitting there, not one made a move. In the team of David, there were 30. And they all said, you know what, David? You are very important to us. You're not going to go. We're going to do it. Beloved, eagles discipline eagles. Bottom feeders discipline bottom feeders. Ask God to give you a heart with passion. And so remember this moment that the fence will only limit the sheep, but the eagles will soar beyond that. Before the fence, it can seem that we're all the same. Before we cross that line, we're all born, you know, 12... We're all alike, but only when everyone saw what is beyond the fence, 10 of them said, we are done. But 2 said, we're going to devour them. Do you understand that the fence determines your DNA, spiritual DNA? Do not be afraid to fight. Do not be afraid of gossip and dirt. It determines the purity of your breed. Not one of the reformers, starting from Moses to Martin Luther, there were many of them, did not go and give in to the rules. Those who are born from the Spirit of God to exit out of the game and from beyond this fence of the world, this world. Let's just jump through history. You know, remember Esther? Esther. They put a fence in front of her. You're not allowed. A woman who's not called is not able to approach the king. Regardless if you are a servant or if you're queen, regardless, it doesn't have a difference. This is the law that was made. And this lioness goes, she says, either we die or we will save our nation. Beloved, listen, each and every single one of you will have this moment where you will have to decide. I went past my fence, and I am fully aware of what's happening around me and what's happening around you. You will start to understand as well. You know, some will love you and others will not. If there's no reaction around you, guess whose DNA you've inherited. Look. Specifically, this breaking the rules of the game with, in the case of Esther in Israel. What is the rules of the game? Let's try to understand what these rules are. First of all, it's a method of control made up by the spirit of the world, meaning Lucifer, that he sells to those who want to control the public. Do you understand? Do you know, in the kingdom of God, there are no boundaries. There is obedience or disobedience. Understand? Some people say God is not with those who broke the rules, whatever you want to call it. God does not see your rules or your laws. For him, it doesn't exist. He has his own rules. Get up and do as he says. But God, the king will king me, kill me, so don't worry. So you will make a bold statement. So the prophet gets up, approaches the king, he prophesies to him, king kills him, he reads the prophecy and burns it. Do you remember the story? Beloved, you will have your final flight, but it will be historic. Don't worry. And so the rules are methods of control, and every country has their own rules about Christianity and what they do. But do you know why the church turned into this chaos and this mass of bodies who are occupying and doing things that the structure of the world allows them to do? For one reason, because eagles have to be born who are not afraid to die, but bring birth to their nation. You know, we hear Christians are there and there and there. We saw the picture of the guy who was hanged with a smile. I'm pretty sure this happened recently. He was a Christian. He, with a smile on his face, he was going to his God. Beloved, we have to understand that you cannot tame eagle and a lion. Their DNA will not allow them to sit still. Your character, in any moment, to make a challenge or go beyond your limits. Of course, someone will have to say something against you because you went past your limits. But who will those be? Those people whose opinion you should not care about at all. You're not born to run around in a herd. You were born to soar by yourself, limitless. Look. Daniel, broke rules, and from the very beginning, you know, I don't want to read this, but Daniel 1:8, we remember these four guys, and momentarily they started being fed from the table of the king. They brought this feast before them, brought by these people and these idols, and these guys said, "We will not eat this." They said it so boldly that this guy who was attached to them, you guys all know the story, let's not reread it, but this guy was not afraid for them, but he was afraid for himself of what the king will think. If the guy said, if we soar, then we soar. What else do you, what do you have that's not on the table that we can consume? And they ate all the vegetables. And when they met at some time, they looked good. Look, God stands behind his lions and his eagles. He will not let you die, Daniel, with the lions. If you stand for God and you break all the rules that were just signed by some guys that created these rules to kill you, these rules are created to control you, Daniel. What will you do, Daniel, after we wrote these rules to not worship anyone? For me, love of God is so much more important than the rules of the people. Какие правила руководят царством Бога? What rules does the kingdom of God have? Так что же есть правила? По каким What are these rules? What are the rules we should fly by and we should live by and we should move by? And I will explain. This question was asked to Jesus. And everything else, beloved, you can delete from your memory file. Listen.
Какие правила руководят царством? Любим Бога.
What kind of rules are? Are they love your God and love your neighbor? Bible says this is everything abides in these. I will read this. Beloved, you don't understand how deep it is what I just said. You don't understand the depth of the statement. In this, there is everything. Everything. Everything you could do has to be based on the love of God for God and second for love for your neighbor. If this concept is broken or if it changes, the love for a person will go higher than the love for God, then everything is ruined. You have to keep it in order. Do not let someone stand between you and God, because I will trump over you because I love God first, and your rules do not mean anything to me. I love you, neighbor, but I love you secondary. My love for you secondary, not. This is serious. I remember the time when the Holy Spirit told me wherever I would come and I would get rejected. And God, He told me that everything you do has to be based on the love for me. You have to love me so much that you do everything that I tell you. Secondary, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. You have to be based on the love for your neighbor, but do not dare to mix it or put the person or your neighbor first, because some people will play on this. You don't love me. Stop. I love you. Secondary, I apologize, husband, wife, pastor, son, you will not replace the number one place where God belongs. First of all, I do not love you. I love you secondary. My love for you is secondary. Beloved, understand this, church. If you understand this, your tolerance will dissolve, disappear. Who will love the son, daughter, mother, father, wife? That love is not worthy. Why did Jesus say this? Because love for God comes first, for the person comes second. The love for my wife is secondary, but for my God it's first. You have to first love your God and then your spouse or your children. This is why Christianity rolled downhill, because we became tolerant for the love of people and we neglected God to the second place. But we do this from love. No. You are two-faced, and you made the person your idol who doesn't have the right to stand in the position of God, your husband that you love, that you still cannot make a decision out of him, your wife, that you cannot make a decision because of her. She becomes an idol who replaced the position of God. When you have a love for God, you will have no idols, because the first place is taken. Let this internalize. Are you taking anything for yourself? This is for grown-ups, adults. You know, I have read about these obstacles and these fences. We cannot talk to children. And children, you know, I like children. Children will never pass beyond the limits. Those who are matured will step beyond that. They will say, he tried, the sheep will not hear, but a different breed will hear. Listen, Matthew 22:35, this bases my life so much and should be yours as well, beloved. If you say, what is the most powerful place in the Bible for me? You know, we all grow up and we understand differently. The most powerful place in the Bible is this one.
And this place
has a special place in my spirit, and I'm not trying to compare what's your favorite verse with mine. It's your business. But I share with you my experience. This is my foundation where my life is based on. My calling and even my relationship with you is based on this verse.
Or this,
these three verses. Matthew 22:35. One Pharisee who was expected on the law of Moses asked Jesus this question to test him. Teacher, which command is the in the law is the most important? Do you feel what he was just asked? In their time, they did not have the Bible at all. Let's forget what we see here in front of us. This was written after. No one carried Bibles with them. Everyone read. Synagogues, in the synagogues. The history was passed of Jesus Christ. It was very prestigious to have a book of some prophet. It wasn't real. So here is this, we read from the New Translation, and he was asked, challenges Jesus with this question, tell me, what is the most important, I'm paraphrasing, from all of the law, that was before them, what is the most important? And look, what is the most important law? And he answered, Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and most important commandment. Do you hear me, my eagle? It's not based on your pastor or your mother, not even on me. I shouldn't mean anything to you. Your life should be based on him and his word for you. But what if I don't understand your calling and I will tell you no? You will listen to me. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry because my pastor told me, but what if I can't even start understanding where God is taking you? You need to hold on to your heart, but if you feel that it's from God and everybody around you tells you it's not, you leave the church and you go and you follow that because you follow God. The most important, nothing is more important. I want to stress this part specifically, because this is most powerful for me, the most strong. If you take the whole Bible, it's all in this verse, these couple of verses. That's it. All that I need for my life is here. Here are my rules, and under these rules, I fly. Love your God with all your mind, all your soul. This is the first and most important commandment. And the second commandment is like the first, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Period. And here's what Jesus says. All the law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commands. Jesus himself said this. That's it. That's it. If you understand this, if you remember this, these couples of verses, and right now you will start living differently, you will say, I will no longer sit still. Yeah, you might make a few mistakes. Yeah, Eagle, you can do that. You can make mistakes. So what? Yes, you're allowed to do that. Make a mistake. Do something. Hello? Do something, make an action so something can be, God can see that you are starting to move for yourself. Oh, I'm afraid to fall. Pitiful sheep. who are in fear, I remember that when I first started encountering God, almost immediately I encountered people in all different aspects who firmly was standing between me and God. Does this sound familiar? Beloved, I came to God. Look, right now, for example, me and Alex were talking about this. You get a disc with testimonies about hell or heaven, regardless, and this disc pierces you so much that God, through this small disc, touches you so much, and you come to church, to God. Are you all here? And here is where they prevent you. Quotation marks. There stand those who tame and who discipline. And we call them. There is no him, because in order to become him, an individual, you have to be an eagle, which puts you in a different category. So there is always them in a herd, plural. They will invite you to come with them or go against you, but they will always be them, because that's their life. DNA. You can't run away from that. Look. And these people firmly hang on to revelations from God, about God. But I apologize, beloved, but without you, God touched me without you. You can be my friend to some extent. You can be my mentor, maybe, but by no means my teacher, my father, my leader. Why do you not call somebody a teacher? Because in order to... Who out of us, people on earth, finished school of the Spirit to be teachers? You know why I'm called a teacher with a small T, not a capital one? Because I teach and I am being taught. You know, Holy Spirit is the only one who can be called a teacher, because he knows it all. You know, you go to take your license exam and you call this person your instructor, your teacher, 100%, because in this aspect, he knows everything. 100%. Why does the Bible not speak, do not call your teacher, your master, your father? Because you have father, and you have a teacher, and you have God Almighty. Do you understand the concept of the Trinity? I cannot be the teacher and because I am myself and being taught. And listen to me carefully. Every single one of you, you can teach not only me, but you can, and your other teachers in your life you have, you can excel beyond that, beyond them and their limits, if your teacher is the Holy Spirit. But how comfortable it is for us to follow the herd. Oh, the teacher gives us direction and we listen to him when what he says. How comfortable and easy is that? And we're afraid, and you're afraid of their barriers and their game and their exile from these barriers. Dear God, please get a grip, lion. And I encountered people like this, and I was not given a choice. You know, they didn't even give me a choice when I first came at all. They told me immediately, you don't understand God at all. Here is the teacher, here is our pastor, and right away they acquainted me with our system. And here is practically... They castrated me. Because now I had to swallow everything they gave me. You know what was unique? You know, I'm not like everyone else who were sitting there and just nodding. I did everything they told me. And when I began asking them questions, but they had no answers. And I started understanding, you know, when I wasn't even trying, I soared past them. It wasn't pride, it was love for God and the desire to fast and pray. When I told them, oh, I'm already fasting for a week, and they look at me, wow, how long have you been fasting? Or how often do you fast? And I tell them, often. People were just so surprised. And here they were sitting, and they were trying to throw questions at me that I would not know the answer to. But you guys are all, you know, so deep in your theology that you try to guide people with that. Let's talk later, they tell me. You're not ready for it. No, you're not ready for it. I was there. Trust me. I saw how their eyes shifted and they got nervous. Because simply, I asked a question. I was an 18-year-old guy. And in order to begin to communicate with God alone, I had to exit out of this human game. I had to enter into church and God. I had a personal revolution in my mind. I mean, I was called different names. You name it, I was called. Because I left, I exited out of the game and its rules once and for all. Here's a unique question for you. I always had a unique question that nobody from this mass could give me an answer to. I like this question very much. Just listen. Just think about it. Why do we enjoy in the Bible the topics who are breaking those rules and lived outside of those rules and were successful? Next question. Why is the Bible written by those who did not have followers or were not followers, but had a teacher? Teachers who forced those others to teach enjoyed those who follow. You're not lost, are you? Chicken didn't run anywhere? Didn't get distracted? What I'm telling you is very unique. Teachers who hate those who rebel, the abnormal people enjoy and preach and read the teachings of these abnormal people in the Bible. Those rebellious individuals that the Bible writes about. You know, when I began to ask these questions when I was 18 years old, people gave me very strange looks because they didn't even start thinking about it. It was like long distance calling for them. It wasn't considered. What I would say, I want to follow God. Well, yeah, go. But he came to me, oh no, that's not God. But you love those who rebel. No, but those are sons of God. Yeah, that was back then. But now, where do you stand? Because he was rejected, and he was trying, you know, people tried to kill him, and he, prophet, was running from those who was trying to get him. We enjoy rebellious reformers, individuals who spit on the system, broke all the rules, and trumped over the opinion of those. We fell in love with the history that are written by these people. God's generals, all, every single one of them, were hated by churches in their time. Read the history. The Bible. The whole Bible. All the whole Bible. Starting from Moses, ending in John, with John, who he was placed on an island. All rebellious, individuals who the structure hated, who triumphed over them, they lived in isolation and eventually died. And those who control the system try to destroy those who you love. Can somebody please understand, explain this paradox to me? You who love this, but you hate it when it's happening right now. Are you with me? Or is this too much, too depth, too deep? Do you understand where we're, what we're diving into right now? Be here with me. And so I had this unique question. To this day, they still can't answer this question to me because they all know the history and they know these people, these very strange, rebellious people. You can ask me a question. I can find any person in the Bible who did this. Great people. People who went beyond, above and beyond rules and limits. Jesus is one of the most famous of these people. He had a nickname between all the pastors and Pharisees. He was the front of tax and prostitutes and the friend of those who were not loved. But it's pleasant to read about those who no longer exist, but we get nauseous looking at people like that when they're right now here, but the history is created by these people. Are you here? My family. If you are called a rebellious or strange, or you cannot receive a better compliment from religion. Do you hear me? It is the best compliment that the structure of death can give you. God called us to love. Yeah, love to God was first. That's right. But change the places. What do you mean? And so, they still do not answer this question because they recite Paul, Apostle Paul, who hated all of these people, Pharisees. The Christians of his time hated him. His own people did not like him. Because that one went where? Do you understand? And here we sit and we think, oh, Apostle Paul, the strongest person who rebelled, guess who? Apostle Paul. Read about it. The strongest person of them all. He did not care how he was called. He came by and asked, who are you? Oh, you have a problem. You are two-faced. Do you know why nobody could get close to him? You know, when he started doing this, because everyone idolized Peter. If he right now playing the role, we have to all do the same thing. And here's this guy standing who is going against the system completely, who loves Jesus with his whole heart until he dies, and he proved it. Everything was calm a second ago. What happened? We were all just relaxing here together. Peter, you yourself said that everything's okay. You know that yesterday, what happened? But right now, look, you washed your hands and feet after you. And Paul said, interesting why Paul didn't describe this clearer. Are you with me?
Those rebel.
He doesn't care about the opinion of others, regardless of how people idolize him. There's a problem. He fell into a problem. You know, I like Paul. He was an individual who was not able to be broken. He said that everything that you think is important, I dislike. Open an American, an American translation, and it describes this word as gone. Completely.
Все, что вы цените, все, что вы тут поклоняетесь,
я служу одному единственному моему Богу, служу для Него и умираю для Него. Это же для меня, что мой Бог, и я живу только для Него.
Когда он это увидел, он сказал, туп,
when he saw this,
ты все сказал, бла-бла, бла-бла, бэм. Вы все?
Do you understand?
До этого никто себе не позволял.
Before this, nobody allowed to speak against Apostle Paul.
Сколько мы из вас, сколько мы лицемерим иногда, находясь
How many times are we being two-faced in front of other people, in front of the people who we're afraid of? I don't mean like trembling afraid, but I mean more like honor and because they have authority. He was just very straightforward and direct with these people. You do not have the right to speak against those that are in authority. Yes, I can. Well, 8.5 years I've been doing this. Okay, let's continue. Let's conclude. Why is it that the church structure is destroying these people who are seeking to walk with God and listen to God and hear only Him? The system is destroying them and pushes them out of the fence, but inside of this fence they learn the history of these people in the past, those who are reformers and those who revolutionize. They learn about this history and they say, look at how Apostle Paul acted. And here's this guy standing there. Oh, I want God. No, you sit down. You're not Apostle Paul. You cannot do this. But he has the heart of that. Leave him alone. Let him live his dream. What's unique is that those who love the story, but not everybody follows that. We want to be around people who follow God. We want to listen to them and read their books. But the system is created so this does not happen. So when the individual does follow that and does step out beyond these brackets, he's shunned. So here's the concept that these individuals dislike what they love. Next time they start speaking against you, and here you can tell them, you know, there's a secret. You know, you love what you hate, and you don't even know it. And you can simply explain this to them. Read the Bible and study God's generals and see how they were loved. And so, small history of a few God's generals. I quickly will run through it and we'll be done. Look, can you understand that Martin Luther was he rebelled during his days only. Right now we take Martin Luther, the reformator, reformer who affects our lives to this day. We are called Protestants. It translates as those who protest. We bring Martin Luther into our time. Tell me, how did the structure of the church right now, how would they react to him right now and give him the new translation of the Bible and attack and walk against? Let's think about it. Let's not say, oh, he lived back then. The spirit was the same. And those who attacked him, the spirit was the same. There's no other spirit. There's a spirit of reformation and that of religion that needs to be broken. That's the system. The one that gets dressed in this masks and hides the heart. Martin Luther was that who rebellious during his time, but became the father of the church.
Do you remember?
Read this book about the story of us in history. Maria de Bustamante, who lived, I don't remember what year, she, you know, quickly I will tell you in a moment, she was a woman, first of all. Women did not have the right to do anything. She was considered trash back then. Can you imagine what this woman had to do and what fences she had to hop and how she had to exit out of that? What she had to do. Right now, women have that. Imagine in the 17th century, what they had to do, what they had to go through. She was a woman who was laughed at practically all of the pastors during her days. This was history, all. Nobody accepted her. She was laughed at. She was called a witch. Simply for one reason, because she was walking in these things that were not seen and not heard of at all. She, a woman who was hated. Imagine her in our time right now. Guess what would be spoken against her with brothers of the church who now think, now honor her so much. Yeah, right now, if a woman gets up and does this, and throws this challenge to religion, in the face of religion, what would happen? In history, she started, she was the mother of all supernatural. That's happening now. The road of trance, of visions, teleportation, she is the mother of all of that. That is the history, church. Let's keep walking forward. There's so many of them. I was just going to run through a couple. And so,
William Seymour.
William Seymour. Does somebody remember them?
William Seymour. Принесший пробуждение чуть-чуть больше
100
лет назад.
Fresh and look about 100 years ago, which the Pentecostal vision started from. He was the father of spiritual baptism, speaking in tongues, black man. Everyone laughed at him. He wasn't even allowed to study in the Bible school with everybody because he was black. He was put in the corner and nobody even looked at him in that corner. Beloved, this person who made the biggest impact in our generation in religion and brought life, him, he was hated by all of the pastors of his day. He was not allowed, not one church in LA where he could host a service. Everyone turned against him. He had to rent a place where cattle lived on a farm where he had his pedestal, which was a box, actually. This person that everybody loves is the father of the Pentecostal movement. Guess if this person again was brought into our time right now, what would happen? You know what will happen. Exactly what's happening now. The list of God's general, we can keep going down, but we do not have the time for this. But learn about it right now, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. All of them turned from the rules of the game. They were all written, rejected by the people of his time, by the Christians of their day, or so they seemed who followed Christ. All of these people brought revolution in the body of Christ, being rebellious, being warriors of God. And to this day, history is made by these people. Who is this person who rebels? This is a term given by to those, for those who does not want to live in a system and to live behind the fence. They were called those who rebel. If those who hated these individuals right now lived in our times, they would do the same. If these people lived right now, Martin Luther, Moses, David, Mary Woodworth Edwards, William Simmers, and on and on and on, Catherine Coleman, which majority people just completely rejected her and spoke so many bad things against her. Catherine Coleman. Beloved, if these people lived right now, those who go against you and against life, those who say, oh, we love them now, do you remember how Jesus gave them light? If he said, if we would only live in the day of our fathers, then we would not participate in the death of these prophets. But Jesus says, thank you. Once again, he reminded what you are and what your DNA is. Where your blood is from, the generations of where your blood comes from. Do you understand what spirit we speak of? Again, we talk of from about the spirits who goes against, and the spirit that goes concludes in with this statement, this phrase. This is why, once and for all, make a decision to exit out of this game, breaking all of its rules, and enter into what God has for you, because they realistically will recognize you only after your death. Welcome into Christianity. Give God some praise.
Let's pray. Let's stand up. I know today was entertaining, but a couple of things were talked about that should be thought about twice. Beloved family, I ask you, let today,
I like the Holy Spirit. With one message, he can speak to thousands of people, and every single one of us can adjust to it. My beloved family, I tell you, my local family, my big family, my virtual family, I tell you, if you stand here and you're in the glory and you're an eagle that simply wants to soar and spread his wings, yes, you are hated, but you breathe fresh freedom. You breathe fresh freedom. You say, I am alone. Welcome. There are eagles do not fly with in herds. Welcome into Christianity, church. Ask God right now. Say right now, Father, here's my heart. Right now, I understand that all that was written, all of those who brought this information, who the Bible, those 2,000 years ago, and the move right now are those who rebel against the system. They are those who were hated by the system. God, I'm one of them. I make the decision once and for all to accept this in my life, to be an eagle and follow my heart for you and me. The Spirit of God comes and challenges you and brings the awareness to your DNA and your spirit. God, I thank you, God, for the high soaring mountains. I thank you, God, that my eyes no longer look on dirt. I thank you, God, for our flight, for our journey. Beloved, I ask you for one thing. Continue raising your generation and your DNA. Continue raising your DNA. Continue raising your DNA. In the name of Jesus Christ, give him praise.